Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together by setting the intention with Naturally 7 and Let It Be.
Lord, I pray for this day we've come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you.
As always, I like to take the time to acknowledge you, to acknowledge that you recognize the importance of taking the 45 minutes or so to connect with the source of all that is. Of the 1,200 plus minutes that you were given this day, sparing 45 or so to connect with the ground of being, the source of all that is, God in us as us, is not too much. It is as we come together in community, as we open up our hearts and lift up our consciousness to connect with the consciousness that permeates all of life and all of existence. Can we receive our blessings? Can we receive our peace? Can we receive our joy? God is still God, whether you choose to connect and commune with the source of all that is or not. But always when I say it, we consciously do so, we receive more than we can ever imagine. So as always, thank you for taking the time to commune with the ground of being, our Divine Beloved. A few weeks back I did my reminder session on self-esteem versus self-acceptance. And it was so powerful that I realized that I really wanted to bring a deeper spiritual approach to it for our Sunday soul. You see, Jesus said when to his disciples, who do they say that I am? And they came out with various things. Some say Elijah, some Elijah, some say you are. It wasn't that Jesus was seeking validation, but he was seeking to see if they had a deeper awareness and understanding of all that he'd been sharing and teaching them. The time that he had been with them, had they understood who and what he was about, and that what they needed to be about as well. You see, there's a difference between self-esteem and self-acceptance. You see, when we think about self-esteem, it's based on outer validation. What other people think about us determines how we see ourselves and how we feel about ourselves. It also dictates how we speak about ourselves, how we think, because based on what we think other people think, then we start to use that as the template that this is how we must be, which then makes us make choices that perhaps are not in alignment with our highest and our best. Because our self-esteem comes from comparing ourselves to others, looking at the different aspects. Are we as well as in our promotions, in our careers, as friends or relatives? Do we have the kind of relationship that those that we admire have? And do we have the way of dressing or expressing ourselves the way that our cousin or our auntie or our mother did? This constant comparison, this constant seeking validation of our own worth based on outer circumstances, outer experiences, outer looking, can be damaging. Self-esteem used and channeled in the right way can be fuel. But what is best, and ultimately what we need to be working on for ourselves, is self-acceptance. Self-acceptance is that we accept ourselves, our shortcomings, our flaws, all the aspects of ourselves that we think are not enough, or we don't need to compare someone else to feel that we have worth or value. Self-acceptance is just because we've lost our job or we've been made redundant doesn't mean that we are valueless or that we don't have the ability to get a next job or a better job. I met with a friend's son yesterday and his family for lunch, and he was sharing with me, he was with a new company and they had offered him work in Gibraltar. And he had so pinned his hope on this, but everything is so topsy-turvy in the financial world, he wasn't sure. And I said, first off, when we align ourselves with the greater than ourselves, that substance, that source that is beyond name and word and limitation, we understand that we don't limit the way it is expresses in our life. We don't think that this is the only way our success or our worth or our value will come via this job in Gibraltar. What we like to say is this or something better. This way we allow ourselves to be open to what the divine has in store for us. Oh, but after I lost my last job and my self-worth and my value just diminished. I said, I understand that. But your value and your self-worth isn't based on the job that you have. Your value and self-worth is based on what you accept about yourself, what you believe about yourself. If you continuously drag the past into the present, that will definitely shape your future. And this is the thing about self-acceptance. It isn't based on our past failures. We accept them as the necessary stepping stones for our growth, for our unfoldment, for our development, for our experience. It allows us, if we failed in our relationships, if we failed in some goal or desire that we want to achieve, it allows us to recognize that we can try again. The failure or the whatever doesn't define who we are. Neither does anybody else's opinion about us define who we are. Self-esteem is one thing. And as I said, you could use it as a fuel to help propel you to accepting everything and anything that you feel is good or not so good about yourself. When we learn to truly embrace self-acceptance, it helps us control our emotions, because we're not at the whims of what other people think about us. Self-acceptance can triggered that part of the brain that is responsible for controlling our emotions. As I've said before, the thought or whatever it is that triggers us comes to us first before the emotion, before we decide to feel angry, before we decide to feel worried, before we decide to feel upset or whatever. We have the thought first about that. If we are so aligned in accepting everything about us, we can control our emotions so that we don't have this mental imbalance, so we don't have this anxiety or allow ourselves to get stressed because we're not being perceived or received as we think we should. If we have self-acceptance, we can forgive ourselves easily. We can forgive ourselves because we know that at any given time, we are trying the best that we can. Yes, there will always be days and weeks or months when we've done better than we're currently doing. But when we forgive ourselves, we can accept that any time and every time we're doing the best. We can be more compassionate towards ourselves. We can recognize it's an opportunity to be more positive. And just really as we forgive ourselves, we can be more balanced in how we see ourselves. When we have self-acceptance and we've learned to forgive and accept just as we are who we are have more self-compassion. Self-compassion is more important for us, for our mental, spiritual, emotional well-being than we ever give it credit for. You see, when we have compassion, we can recognize we need to be less judgmental, less critical, less condemning of ourselves than previously. Oftentimes, I'd wonder when I hear people talking about themselves in such a critical and condemnatory manner, would they actually say that if they were speaking to a friend? Would they actually say these things about themselves to a friend about themselves? And I believe they wouldn't. But yet they speak about themselves that way to themselves. That internal mental chatter about not being enough, not being clever, not being whatever. Self-acceptance requires greater self-compassion. And self-acceptance allows you to be yourself, to be authentically you. You know, there are always, and I've spoken to this before, there are always people who want you to be what they want you to be. From your parents, to your partner or spouses, to friends, even in your spiritual community. There are those that have their ideal of what they think you should be or what you should be doing. And then they've just dislike you when you don't comply. You see, God did not create us as automatons. He gave us the gift of free will and free choice to be that expression of its divineness. When you can accept yourself and be yourself, you don't have to be concerned the fact that you don't meet other people's expectations of you. You don't have to prove yourself. You don't have to perform how they want you to be. You don't have to repress what it is inside of you that is calling you to be. You see, self-acceptance is an invitation to do the inner work. The inner work of spirit that calls you to be all that you've created. You were created by spirit to be, not as the outer world dictates or wants, demands, or cajoles you, but as the work of the inner spirit is calling you to be. Albert Ellis says that with unconditional self-acceptance, you always, yes, always accept and respect yourself, your personhood, your being, whether or not you perform well, and whether or not other people approve of you and your behavior. You see, self-acceptance is self-approval. It's not needing anyone else's approval of you. I shared in the reminder session back a few weeks ago that for me, I had stopped wanting or looking for my mother's approval or my husband's approval or anybody else's approval. So I'd come to the belief, acceptance, and realization that the only approval I needed was of God. And God had already approved of me. God had said, "This is my beloved child with whom I am well pleased." If God is pleased and accepting of me, why then am I going to be concerned with a human, no matter be it a mother or a father or a husband or a friend or whoever? Why am I going to be more concerned about their approval over God's? It cannot and will not and has not happened for me. I have stopped thinking I need outer validation and outer approval. I appreciate when people text me to say they've enjoyed the service, not for validation or that my ego needs it, but to recognize and accept that I've given the message as God required, and it was received and accepted by those who got it. That's it. If I'm not doing what God needs me to do, then why am I here? What is the purpose? I can save you your 45 minutes and save me my 45 minutes and stay in bed and do whatever. But I have come to believe that if we are to walk this spiritual path, and as I've often said, it's not an easy one, it is to radically accept ourselves, our shortcomings, our failings, our foibles, all of it is a part of us. When I've spoken about the shadow and doing the shadow work, it's no different. It's accepting those parts of us we want to keep hidden. So our sacred texts, the first one I want to share is from Lao Tzu of the Tao Te Ching. Because one believes in oneself, one doesn't try to convince others. Because one is content with oneself, one doesn't need others' approval. Because one accepts oneself, the world accepts him or her. Psalm 139, 13 to 14 says, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." 2 Timothy 3, 1-3 says, "Those who are kind benefit themselves, but the cruel bring ruin on themselves." Song of Solomon 1:15. "You are altogether beautiful, my darling. There is no flaw in you." Each of those sacred texts speaks to the validity of who you are because of whose you are. You are wonderfully made by the Creator of all that is, and the Creator of all that is does not make mistakes. There is both light and dark in this universe. There is both light and dark within each and every one of us. As we express our true nature, our God nature, we are embracing both those polarities. My beloved, learning to accept yourself is learning to ignore your inner critic. It's moving on from the disappointments that we have from our expectations in life. It's gaining perspective over our shortcomings and limitations. It's being aware in moment to moment where you are, what you're thinking, what you're believing about yourself. It's practicing greater self-compassion and forgiveness. It's acknowledging and loving all of you, your abilities, your shortcomings, your everything. The invitation this morning for radical self-acceptance is truly an invitation to wholeness. My story is entitled A Man Named Bad. Once upon a time, I was a world-famous teacher in Takasalia in northwestern India. He had 500 high-class students who learned sacred teachings from him. It just so happened that one night, one of these high-class students who had been named Bad by his parents, one day thought, when I'm told, come bad, go bad, do this bad, it's not nice for me or others. It sounds disgraceful and unlucky. So he went to the teacher and asked him to give him a more pleasant name, one that would bring good fortune rather than bad. The teacher said, go, my son. Go wherever you like and find a more fortunate name. And when you return, I will officially give you your new name. The young man named Bad left the city and traveled from village to village until he came to a big city. A man had just died, and Bad asked what his name was. People said his name was Alive. Alive also died? Asked Bad. The people answered, whether his name be alive or whether it be dead, in either case, he must die. A name is merely a word used to recognize a person. Only a fool would not know this. After hearing this, Bad no longer felt badly about his own name, but he didn't feel good about it either. As he continued his way into the city, a debt slave girl was being beaten by her master in the street. He asked, why is she being beaten? He was told, because she is a slave, and until she pays a loan debt to her masters, she has come home from working with no wages to pay as interest on her debt. And what is her name? He asked. Her name is Rich, they said. By her name, she is rich, but she has no money even to pay interest, asked Bad. They said, whether her name be rich or whether it be poor, in either case, she has no money. A name is merely a word used to recognize a person. Only a fool would not know this. After hearing this, Bad became even less interested in changing his name. After leaving the city along the roadside, he met a man who had lost his way. He asked him, what is your name? He replied, my name is Tour Guide. You mean to say that even a tour guide has gotten lost? Asked Bad. Then the man said, whether my name be Tour Guide or whether it be Tourist, in either case, I have lost my way. A name is merely a word used to recognize a person. Only a fool would not know this. Now, completely satisfied with his own name, Bad returned to his teacher, the world-famous teacher of Takasalia, and asked him, how are you, my son? Have you found a good name? He answered, sir, those named alive and dead both die. Rich and poor may be penniless. Tour guide and tourist can be lost. Now I know that a name is merely a word used to recognize a person. The name does not make things happen, only deeds do. So I'm satisfied with my name. There's no point in changing it. The teacher summarized the lesson his pupil had learned this way. By seeing alive is dead, rich is poor, tour guide is lost, Bad has accepted himself. The different names we call ourselves that can limit or enhance us is really what this story is about. Theme this morning of self-acceptance is coming back to the remembrance, what name are you calling yourself? What thoughts are you holding about yourself? What beliefs are you entertaining in your consciousness, in your mind? You see, it took the man named Bad to travel and realize that it isn't the name that is important. It's the beliefs, the thoughts, and the life he was living that mattered. So can all of these things can come to us eventually. My poem is by Insia Patanwala, entitled Before I. Before I became strong, I knew what it was like to be weak, how difficult it is to love yourself, to find the wholeness that you seek. Before I knew the light, I have had my fair share of darkness too, where my world fell into a hopelessness and I didn't know how to get through. For I have known the tears it takes, the courage to stand up again, when you have are broken down and bruised and know nothing but the pain. You forget to appreciate the love if you haven't seen the hate, till you forget the meaning of smile and laughter and your heart is left abate. I have known strength and courage it requires to get it right, to face the things that hold you down and hold your head up and fight. Before I know who I am now, I was someone I didn't want to be. I was lost, battered, and defeated before I knew how to be me. Know that being you is learning to accept yourself and all that you are, all that you can be, all that you have failed to be, and all that you have yet to try and be. My science mind reading is entitled, Why Am I Here? The first quote comes from Socrates, The unexamined life is not worth living. The second from Ernest Holmes, The Science of Mind, page 43. Everyone seeks an inward sense of certainty. We all seek an inner awareness of something greater than we are, something so vast that we may anticipate exploring its nature through endless eternities. The author writes, Much of my meditative inquiry has included the questions, Why am I here? What are the primary lessons for this incarnation? This has proven to be a beneficial healing practice because it requires dutiful self-reflection and curious examination of reoccurring themes. Alongside the question can be a review of our supposed failures. Are there repeating fears or longings in the list? All of this is compassionate data for understanding our path to restorative power. One personal insight I had was noticing the void of adolescent validation. Growing up in an abusive, impoverished surroundings, there was little skill or regard for nurturing or demonstrative acknowledgement. Any positive noticing was based on the quality of contribution. This fostered not only a longing for acknowledgement, but a non-sustaining need to please. Being with this question revealed a repetitive gravitation towards crafting identities and careers that felt dependent on the opinions of others. Whether forging an acting career where external validation is such a large part of the craft, to time in spiritual leadership where was still emotional unsteadiness when acknowledgement wasn't given or withheld based on metrics. Yet, sitting with the question, why am I here, softened and dismantled a cultivated dependency on outer approval. Asking such a question in the context of being a soul and not a body made sense of my history. Maya Angelou shared, if I am not good to myself, how can I expect anyone else to be good to me? Hunger can bring us to the banquet table. Thirst can lead us to the universal oasis. The years of seeking it from others ultimately brought me home to the holy understanding that acknowledgement, nurturing, and love must first reside within. That author speaks so eloquently for the reason why we need to stop seeking validation outside of ourselves and look within. It's not about our upbringing. It's not about anymore who we think approve of us or likes us. It's not about inflating our self-esteem. It's about accepting ourselves, who we are, just as we are. So, my beloveds, as if you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes as we go within to honor the sacred temple of the living God that resides within the core of our being, that expresses in us, through us, as us, that loves us just as we are. Nothing added or taken away could make God love us anymore. So if you haven't already, close your eyes. I invite you to do so and bring your attention to the breath, the ebbing and the flow, the contraction and the expansion. And always I remind you of the words of Job, who said, "'Tis the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life." So let us be intentional as we breathe in the breath of life that nurtures, that energizes, that nourishes ourselves, our tissues, our organs. Let us be truly in alignment in this trust, in this truth. Inhale, lower the diaphragm, extend the stomach, and breathe in the breath of life. Hold. Gently, slowly. Inhale. Final time, inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly, release. Bring your attention down into the heart, the cave of the soul, the sanctuary of the spirit. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the work that the heart does without you consciously directing it. Inhale and affirm. This is my breath as I breathe in love. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out cruelty. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in joy. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out impatience. Place your attention on your kidneys, lower back. Acknowledge with gratitude the work of the kidneys as it eliminates the toxic waste and substances from the body. Inhale and affirm. This is my breath as I breathe in gentleness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out fear. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in calmness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out stress. Now bring attention to your liver, the right side of the body under the rib cage. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the work that the liver does as it detoxifies the blood and combats infections and repairs itself. Inhale and affirm. This is my breath as I breathe in kindness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anger. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in generosity. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out frustration. Place your attention on your lungs. Take a moment to acknowledge the work that the lungs do, all the work that it does in bringing in the oxygen from the atmosphere and passing it around through the bloodstream. Inhale and affirm. This is my breath as I breathe in honesty. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out depression. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in courage. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out sadness. Bring attention to your stomach. Take a moment to acknowledge the work of the stomach as it takes in the food and it breaks it down and mixes it up and extracts the nutrients that we need to nourish ourselves. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in fairness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anxiety. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in trust. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out worry. Let's just take a moment to acknowledge all of the systems within our body. The cardiovascular, the respiratory, the endocrine, the immune, the skeletal, the circulatory, the urinary, the integumentary, the reproductive, the digestive, the muscular, the nervous system. All of these systems are operating without us consciously directing. So let's take a moment to appreciate and affirm. The divine within me is wholeness. And my mind reflects this wholeness into every organ, every function, every action, every reaction of my physical being, renewing it after the perfect pattern, the Christ within me. Take a deep breath in as we enter into our circle of prayer. We know that God is the spirit, the life force, the energy, the power that is everywhere present at every point in space and time. There is nowhere where God is not. As always, you're invited to include anything or anyone that is in need of prayer at this time. Divine Beloved, ground of being, Thou who art the absolute mystery, Thou who art beyond names, labels that we tend to give you. We know that you are the infinite intelligence, the consciousness, the super consciousness that is everywhere present, right where we are and in every point in space and time. We know that we are made in your image and likeness, that is health and wholeness and perfect and right expression. Touch our hearts, our minds, our spirits, that we can truly accept ourselves, our shortcomings, our failings, all of the stuff that we want to keep hidden. Let us fully accept ourselves and be compassionate and forgiving and understanding that we are your vessel, with whom you are well pleased and whom you love unconditionally and unceasingly. There is nothing that we will do that would ever stop you from loving us. Let us learn to love ourselves in that same unconditional way, so that we can show up as our true, most authentic expression of the divine life that is within us. Mother, Father, God, there's so much that is happening across our world at this time. Be it hurricanes and cyclones, droughts, famines, wars, the list goes on and on. We take a moment just to hold our world and all that is occurring. To know that we are your hands and feet, that we must do our part to bring heaven here on earth. That we are to offer prayers and bless the situations that we see or hear. That we are to see and behold the oneness that is in and through all of life, all of creation. And to share that oneness, that love, that acceptance, not only with our nearest and dearest, but with all. So we give you thanks for the peace. We give you thanks for justice. We give you thanks for fairness and equality, for acceptance, for oneness of each other, irrespective of gender, race, religion, or any of the many things we seek to divide us. You know our needs individually and collective need. You said, before you call, I will answer. While you yet speak, I have already heard. For each and every one here present, for those listening later, and for those who have no one to pray for them, I surrender them all before your throne of grace now. For your infinite blessings, your eternal mercies, we are ever, ever grateful. And so it is. Take a deep breath in as we do our movement prayer this morning. Stretch your hands towards the sky, wiggle your fingers, and affirm out loud, I'm enthusiastic about life and living. Cross your hands, palms down over your heart, and affirm, I am loving, loved, and lovable. Bring your hands as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm, I speak only words that are life-giving and energizing. Drop your hands to your sides, palms opened, and affirm, I give thanks for my abundant good. Bend your elbows and make small circles with your wrists and affirm, I release all limiting and erroneous thoughts. Take a deep breath in as I unmute the phones for our Buddhist meditations and Science of Mind Reflection. Our Science of Mind Affirmation, repeat. My reason for being,
my reason, for being
is a holy expression of life.
Is a holy expression of life.
Our Buddhist Reflection. If anyone has hurt or harmed me,
If anyone has hurt or harmed me,
knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed,
knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed,
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone,
if I have hurt or harmed anyone,
knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed.
Knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed.
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I accept myself and I am free.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I feel protected and safe.
May I feel protected and safe.
Contented and at peace. May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be free. May my friends be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May those that challenge me be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May all beings be happy.
May all beings be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
Our prayer of intention. I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without.
I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally.
Expressing unconditionally.
I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God within and without.
Manifesting exuberantly.
Manifesting exuberantly.
I am the presence of God within and without.
I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly.
Eternal and unceasingly.
Deep breath. Our rumination, our Rumi thought for the week. Rumi says, close your eyes, fall in love, stay there. My beloveds, there will be no 10 at 10 this week. I'm suspending it until further notice. And my closing benediction. Beloved Mother, Father, God, may I accept myself as I am today, with all my flaws and shortcomings, and practice self-compassion and forgiveness. May I stop looking outwards for validation and worth, but look inwards and remember that I'm your beloved child. May I learn to love and accept myself unconditionally and remember that you already approve of me just as I am. May I take time to acknowledge something positive about myself and give thanks for it. May I always know that I'm here to express all that you created me to be and that there is no judgment as to what that should be or look like. I wrote that benediction especially for today. I trust you appreciated it. And so my closing song is by Joel Vaughan, entitled The Truth About Me. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yvonne and the truth about me. My beloved, I wish you a very blessed and happy week. I look forward to joining you again on Sunday for Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. Peace and blessings.